hard to believe that tomorrow is the mayoral election in Chicago. Although I've been getting so much mail. Petty Whitley, I don't know, is your mailbox just absolutely overflowing?
Oh my God, it's insane. Our alderman is under like his first challenge in ages, and between me and my husband, it's like a dozen pieces a day.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I've gotten four paper cuts just reaching in there on one time, just grabbing the mail on out of there. And we'll talk more about the mayoral election with Petty and I's good friend, actually, Heather Cerrone, coming up at 1:30, and a lot of interesting aldermanic racings as well. And then I want to know, and we'll talk about this later, but 312-981-7200. Obviously, a lot of our listeners in the suburbs. Do suburban voters care at all who we pick for mayor here in Chicago? Does anyone mind? I know a lot of people work in Chicago. They come here. They visit. Maybe they should care about certain things.
Oh, I think they care because it would affect... It affects people if they're going to move to the suburbs, if people want to come into the city, you know... The city itself is a huge engine for the suburbs. I mean, it matters.
You wonder
them.
If they're sick of it, though, sick of hearing it, because all the news covers it over and over. And if you're living in Downers Grove, maybe you don't care. I don't know. We'll let them let us know. By the way, Patty, I don't know, when you retire, would you ever consider living in a Holiday Inn instead of a senior living facility?
Yes.
Right? Isn't that a good? It saves $120
Free
bucks.
Cleaning.
Right.
Come on. Except for I already hate to share a bathroom with my husband.
Okay.
So
you gotta get
a suite.
We might
need a suite. Yeah, yes.
Exactly. Got a text from the 6-year-old. I currently live in an extended stay hotel and mostly long term. One woman in a wheelchair. She spends $30 to $40 a night if it's booked over the month. Weekly housekeeping included, a kitchenette, on site laundry.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Saving some money, too. Exactly. Then you get to move around and choose where you want to go. That's not why I brought you here, Patty Whitley. So you work for Block Club Chicago. You're one of the freelance writers. Worked for DNA Info. That's how we know each other. And you wrote a really fascinating series and are still writing because part five comes out when?
Oh, as soon as I write it.
Exactly. About the Green Book, not the movie. I mean, it was covered in the movie.
Right.
But the Green Book and its reaches here in Chicago. Why don't you walk us through how you came up or decided to write this story?
Well, for people who might not be familiar with it, the Green Book was a guide published from the mid-1930s through 1966-67. And it was a guide for African Americans traveling throughout the U.S. of where they would be welcome to stay, to eat, even barbers, tailors, gas stations, service stations, where they would find service and accommodations. And a common misperception, and I think this was kind of perpetuated by the movie, is that this guide was really for traveling through the South. And only necessary for travelers through the South, when that indeed was not the case. It was needed throughout the United States.
Yeah, and it's interesting that one could argue we need it still back today, but we can get to that story in a little bit. But so did you see the movie first and then that just kind of piqued your interest, or had you heard about the Green Book before?
Yeah, I mean, I had heard about the Green Book before. I saw the movie, and then obviously a lot of media outlets started spinning stories out of that. And I saw a segment on a Sunday morning program about an old Green Book site in Boston. And that kind of led me to wonder, were there sites in Chicago? Were there places listed in the Green Book in Chicago? And from there, it was just like peeling an onion and went off on, you know, an magical, in some ways, mystery tour journey and found that there were, in fact, well over 100 Chicago sites that have been listed.
Throughout over the 30 years.
Throughout the course of this 30 years. But some of them, you know, all the way through.
Did you have to, so you went to the digital archives, right?
I went to the digital archives at the New York Public Library. You know, copies of the Green Book sold for maximum like $1.25. The Smithsonian purchased a copy for over $22,000. So there was no way I think I was going to get my hands on an original copy.
So you found the digital and you just you started logging all the Chicago locations.
Yes.
And I think what's fascinating is, first of all, learning how many there were in Chicago, but also the demise of many of the, not only the businesses, but the buildings as well. So how many, I mean, if you had to guesstimate, what percentage of buildings are still around in Chicago where these establishments once were?
I mean, I feel like it could be 10%.
Really?
It's not many.
Now, many you're going to lose just over time. I mean, buildings get old, you tear some down. But we're talking about even some buildings, some not that, I mean, 50 years ago or so to 80 years ago, see buildings like that all the time around the city. So,
and these were, a lot of them were significant structures. And a lot of structures are businesses and places that weren't in the Green Book that are also gone, that were kind of tangential or related buildings. You're talking about theaters that, you know, the Logan Square Theater still exists. The Davis Theater in Lincoln Square still exists. They had a comparable theater to that, and it's gone. And so these were not, you know, your typical two flat that gets knocked down. You're talking about, there was one building, huge loss. It looked like the Flatiron Building in New York. It was this wedge-shaped building, the Wedgwood Tower, I think it was called. This gorgeous building. These were significant buildings.
And why are they gone?
And they're gone, because even though the Green Book stopped publishing, that didn't mean that segregation and racism went away. And in fact, in some ways, it was kind of doubled down on. I would say that these neighborhoods where African Americans were confined to live in, then those were the same targets for the, you know, urban renewal projects. And whole scale neighborhoods just demolished, and then public housing might go up, or they're just vacant lots, vacant areas today.
So you saw the movie, then you did all this research, and yes. Did you go back and watch the movie again, or, I mean, you remember it well enough? What did you have a different?
I did not go back and watch.
Did you have any thoughts? Did it change your perception of the movie? Did you look back on the movie after you'd done all this research and seen a lot about what happened here in Chicago and have a different thought process? Or I know you didn't love the movie. So right. what are your thoughts about how the movie portrays the usage of the Green Book? Obviously, it's different in the South than here in Chicago. But
I mean, I think there are a couple of different things in the movie. There's a couple of times when Don Shirley, the famous acclaimed pianist, actually has to avail himself of a Green Book hotel, or go to, I guess it would be a restaurant perhaps that would have been listed in the Green Book. And I think in Chicago, it's safe to say that the places that he would have stayed at, those were the places that, like, Duke Ellington was staying at, that Billie Holiday was staying, Louis Armstrong. So they would have been these sort of swanker places in Chicago. But there is, and I read through a lot of the digital copies of the Green Book, not just looking at Chicago listings, but there were editorials and articles in some of them. And in one of them, Victor Green, who founded the Green Book, and that's why it's named the Green Book,
that.
Not necessarily for the color. You know, he's saying, he's encouraging African Americans, Black-owned business owners, to upgrade their facilities so that Black travelers, it's not like they're, you know, they have to stay at your place because your place is the only place for them to stay. But at some point, you might want to think about having to compete for their business. And I think that that maybe was one thing that they were kind of showing in the movie Green Book, that the places that even somebody like a Duke Ellington or a Don Shirley had to stay were not necessarily up to snuff.
Patty Whitley of Block Club Chicago, one of the fascinating pages that you took and you put in the article was kind of a handbook of the rules of what each state is and what to do. Know your rights if you get pulled over. And that was from the latest edition from 1967. And it would be wonderful to think that no one would need that anymore, but it sort of rang true today still.
Oh, I think absolutely. When you look at what's left in some of these neighborhoods, or you think about how people are viewed today. I mean, the fact that at the Oscars last night, you're celebrating still so many firsts for people of color or diversity. I don't think that we've come as far. I think Mr. Green said, you know, I can't wait for the day when I'm out of business, when I don't have to publish this. And you can think it's a great step in one sense that the Civil Rights Act was published and that was the end of, you know, legal
segregation. It'd be nice if that was the close of that book. And
right,
then,
right. But the fact that it might not be law, but that didn't necessarily change people's hearts and minds. Mm-hmm. And here we are all these years later, and there's no two ways about it that, you know, I went back and looked at, actually, it was Congressman John Lewis who presented Green Book
last night at the
Oscars. And, you know, he said, you know, I still bear the scars. And I think that that's the truth. And if the movie does anything, if it gets people to research what the actual Green Book was for. And to go to the south side of Chicago and see.
Yeah.
See what's
there. See
where
those buildings are.
Yeah.
And you can see a lot of the buildings are listed in the Block Club Chicago articles. You have four of them. Five is coming out soon. Patty Whaley, thanks so much for stopping on by. We could have talked about this for a lot longer. In fact, we have recently.
Yes.
Patty, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.